Alignment. We come to Thee, O Lord, in silent prayer. Our hearts to Thee. Our hearts to Thee are open. May we all come this morning in the recognition of Sri Satya Sai Baba as this omnipresent love and intelligence who is expressing as this entire universe. And His grace has touched our hearts, drawing us into this living truth that there is only one. We thank You. We bow humbly in gratitude for this new day and this glorious now beginning. May Thy will alone be done in and through and as each of us. And so it is. Amen. As you can tell, I come from a tradition that prays somewhat like I just prayed. It is this principle that whenever two or more gather together in His name, in the recognition that He alone, it alone is the power and the presence in this universe, then it is said, then I am actively in the midst of you. And so it is. So I say God morning to all of us. We say that a lot at our center. And sometimes when you get emails from me, you'll hear, God morning. It's God's morning. Remember? This is His life and His love and His everything. So we are so blessed to be drawn here together. All these different forms, different colors, different states and stages of unfolding awareness being brought together to experience the one that lives and sits in the lotus of our hearts. And so this morning, since our theme for this weekend last night when I was just deliciously receiving the music that was coming from the stage, my attention kept being drawn to the statement up here. And I was really, it wasn't a surface read that I was having, but it was an actual, this recognition of feeling the presence through this God music. Music that's dedicated to the truth of being. This God goodness, this goodness that is the Lord God of this universe, that is indwelling in all of life. And as we begin to unfold and acknowledge this awareness that it is indwelling and it is waiting for that recognition, when that happens, then our lives begin to, as Swami would say, expansion is my life. We can know when we've been touched by the finger of the divine when our lives begin to change. It's not the same old running around one's own will, doing things the way the world does it. But instead, there's something that's breaking open in the heart. It's like the hull over the seed is beginning to crack open. And something beautiful and something true. It's like one's conscience grows very big into the forefront. No longer having that truth being suppressed because the layers of the world have taken over. I work with so many people, many, many people over the years. And this grace of truth, when we're finally ready, it's like the statement, when does the fruit ripen? When it's ready. One of the things that we've done at our center, we've created this very large orchard in order to be able to give loved organic food to the community. So we have a summer harvest and a winter harvest, two different kinds of food. And people will talk about this and meditate on how come some are more ready than others. And it's like we look at the tree, you've got two pears hanging from the pear tree, and one is blush with ripeness, and the one that next to it is very dark green or green and hard. Is it lifetimes? But one thing I do know in my heart, that all of us drawn together, we could not come together if this presence of light wasn't beginning to break through in our hearts. It's like the chicken and the egg is beginning to tap on the outer shell in order to come forth into a higher dimension. So this morning, in contemplating this devotional music in relationship to the truth, I want to read something and then we're going to sing a few little songs together. This is from Baba, and we read this often at our center. It's about the power of the spoken word. In the Bible, it says, when a prayer is sung, it's a prayer prayed twice. In other words, singing our prayers, singing the truth, is so potent because it's the spoken word that's vibrating at a very quickened level. So here's what Swami says about the spoken word. This is so perfect. The spoken word, though it may be short and appears to be only a sound, it has the power of an atom bomb. When a cheerful word is spoken to someone sunk in despair, it charges that person with renewed energy. When a word of despair is spoken, even to someone who is strong and happy, that person may be overcome with sorrow. Words can confer strength, and they can drain one of strength. Words can gain friends or turn friends into enemies. They can elevate or they can debase an individual. One must learn the habit of making one's words soft, sweet, and pleasant. So let us begin our morning with a beautiful, sweet, pleasant song of truth. So I'm going to teach you this. It's very simple. I sing that with me. I am one with thee, O thou infinite one. I am one with thee, O thou infinite one. I am one with thee, O thou infinite one. We're going to sing it one more time, and then we're going to go on to the next phrase. I am one with thee. Take that in. Oh, thou infinite one. I am one with thee. Oh, thou infinite one. I am one with thee. Oh, thou infinite one. We're going to have another song here. Yes. Call and response. I don't think you've probably heard it in the way that I seem to do the bhajans, so just follow. Tell me, is the guitar too loud? No?
Om Namah Bhagavate Satya Sai Baba. Om Namo Bhagavate Satya Sai Baba. Om Namo Bhagavate Satya Sai Baba. Oh.
I want to read something else that Swami says to us about the vibrations of the music. I know you've heard it, but we can't hear it enough because the mind is quite a monkey. We know that, don't we? What we've discovered in our part of the world, in our Baba journey, is that the monkey seems to respond to truth. It's like a banana. Give the monkey truth. And it's like in your imagination, seeing a monkey and then its relatives, they're all jumping around all over the place on the tree. That's how it is when we're into monkey mind. And then, oh, remember me? The truth. Remember me? Remember me. Remember me. I am with you always. Remember me. Remember me. I am with you always. Remember my name. Call me anytime, anywhere. Remember my name. Call me anytime, anywhere. So we give the monkey a banana. We give it the truth. Through contemplating truth, through singing it, through meditating on it, or we jump into service. But I want to speak about the music because that's a big part of why we're here this weekend, is to give the mind this understanding that this is a huge spiritual tool, is the music, the power of the music. And the music that's based in the truth of being, the name of God, the reality of being. What is God? What is this goodness, this godness that Swami is exemplifying to all of us He is our mentor, our example, our father, our mother, our all, our everything. He's showing us everything of what is indwelling with us and giving us some very simple ways in order for that presence to be ignited from within. So let me read this. Why all this fuss about bhajans? Swami has explained this on a few rare occasions. A few years ago, he told the boys that even though the sound of the songs might die away almost immediately after the line is sung, the subtle vibrations would not only linger for a long time, but would in fact fill the whole universe. That's the power of the spoken sung word. That's how powerful what's coming out of our minds, our mouths, our hearts. Now, this is something very, very important. Why? Because if the universe is continually filled with such positive vibrations by good and earnest bhajan singing everywhere, then a lot of the negativity that is presently contaminating the world would be annulled. Isn't that a wonderful task we've been given? He's giving us, here's your task. I see Swami in my inner world. It's like, we're in a country, and the government has a service for the people. And so we feel called to serve that government. And so we go and we say, I want to enlist into your service. I feel this is what I'm being called to do. And we go into the commander's office, the highest guy on the totem pole. And he says, I will take care of everything if you will simply be in service to me, to this country, to our purpose, to our plan, to our mission. And we come in there with so much surrender. And he says, and oh, by the way, I take care of everything. I pay all the bills. You just have to simply come and check in with me early in the morning, so you can receive the instructions for the day. And then what will go with that instructions is absolutely everything necessary for the fulfillment of my will. Are you willing to do that? Oh, yes, sir. That's how in my own inner world, I would have been great in the military, because there's an aspect of my nature that goes, yes, sir. Whatever you want, you're in charge. I'm here to fulfill your wish. That's how it is as a devotee. Listening for the sound of the master. Trusting in what it is that he puts on our heart. And then obeying that his will might be fulfilled. Here's something else that Swami says. When you plant the seed of truth in your heart and make the faith take deep root with the rain of chanting God's name, peace blossoms, yielding the fruit of liberation. Therefore, every human being should sow the seed of truth in his or her heart. The deeper the root of faith, the stronger will be the tree of life. You must provide water for the flourishing growth of the tree by means of bhajans, singing, and contemplation of God. Only then the flower of Shanti will bloom. And from this, the fruit of liberation will be attained. Isn't that exciting? In 1991. Oh, that was my first Prashanthi Nilayam experience. My first glimpse of that which I had been feeling in my heart for many years. It was like the birthday party I might have always wanted to have. It was so, I was on another dimension the whole time I was there. So much love pouring through this light. And so when I was there that first trip, one of the things I wanted to share and one of the songs I want to do this morning is that when I started coming into Sai Baba's presence, I started hearing songs that I'd never heard before. I don't mean Eastern songs, I mean songs. And they're on the inside and I'm hearing the melody and the words and they're coming so fast that in darshan in those days you could have paper and pencil. And I would grab from my friend next to me, quick, give me the paper. And I'm writing down, and I'm hearing this, and there's Swami right in front of me, and I'm madly writing down what's being given to me. Never in my life had I had experiences like this. And it was the beginning of receiving the truth. 100%. It's like no word had to be changed, no melody, any note. It would just pour through, and I would do my best to write it down and to remember what it was that I was being given. So, Beverly, you're going to love this. So, when I got home from that trip, one day I was at the health club, and being on the walking machine is one of my study times. I have my little spiritual books with me, or I have a spiritual thing that I'm listening to, or I'm listening to God music, and it's I'm able to really just go inward, and at the same time, my body's walking on the walking machine. So I come home from this first trip, and I'm flying without an airplane, and I get on the walking machine, and all of a sudden, this phenomena begins to continue in my experience, because while I was there, those 5 points that Swami placed on my heart, the reality, the 5 points, I am God, I am God, I am not different from God, I am being, awareness, bliss, I am indivisible, supreme, absolute, grief and anxiety cannot affect me, I am ever content, fear can never enter me. So I'm sitting there, and songs start touching my heart while I'm sitting there as this light is walking around and sharing so much energy. So I get home. I don't like rap music at all. This is such a Baba Leela for me, because when I hear rap music, you know, I'm in a car and I'm driving along and it's like, ba-ba-bum, 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 you know, it's like, focus myself, turn up my own God music while I'm in the car. And here is a God rap song that I'm going to have you all participate with me this morning. And if my dear friend Beverly hadn't said to me, are you going to do God's gig? Oh my, do I have it with me? I haven't done this for years. But for this morning, it feels like we're to hear what the Lord has to say to us about his gig. So, what I want you all to do is this, and I want you to do the best you can to stay with it. Do you know how to do this? Okay, now listen to what it is we're being told. It's very apropos for our theme. Here we are, doing our lives, looking here, there, and there to get by. We deal with the struggle and what we call trouble, yet we're grounded, unable to fly. What kind of life can this be? Where we're so concerned what others may think, unable to really be me. What must happen to change this dilemma in order to break the mold? Could it be that surrender is the thing to remember? It's a truth that has been told. It was said long ago that if you believe in something that's big, that your whole life would change, a molecular rearrange, a happening called God's gig. You see, this gig that God's got going is something he knows how to do. He's been writing them songs and playing them tunes from beginning of time. That's true. There's only one thing we're asked to do in order to play in his band. We gotta let go of all our scripts and trust. On solid ground we stand. The place from which we rock and roll is not too hard to find. The only reason we haven't seen it is because we've been too blind. If you will pause and take a deep breath and focus inside right here, you will see that it's living you, the music of the spheres. The music of the spheres. The music of the spheres. You see, you're an instrument of God on which he plays his tune. He plays it loud and he plays it soft. 'Tis grace that is your boon. For when he strikes a chord in you, you are meant to dance. For sure, you're here to let it out, to sing, to praise, to prance. Letting go and letting God is the song we're meant to sing. It's the very breath of the one of love. It's the strength that sets our wings. A bird in flight so easily relies upon the wind. A child enfolded in his care knows sigh is his best friend. This is God's gig. You live in everlasting arms. Your days are promised with all good. To you can come no harm. This is Sai's gig. Rejoice and be glad in it. It's now to heal the thoughts that you feel. Praise God, and so be it. This is God's gig. Rejoice and be glad in it. For the time has come to live as one. Praise God, and so it is. About 6 years ago, I was one of the speakers at the Northern California Regional at this time of year. And again, you know, these things come through, and then I put it on an album, and it was kind of like I forgot it. But it was Krishna Reddy, who was the president of the region at the time, and he yells from the back of the room, "You gotta do God's gig." So I found my papers and put them up in front of me, and everybody was, you know, going like this. And all of a sudden, at one place in the song, there was some very poignant truth. Behind me were three S's for free, Sri Satya Sai, and they had stuffed the thing that was on with carnations, white carnations. And at that moment, at that precise moment, whichever moment it was, they all went flying out into the room. Swami was so happy with his God's gig rap song. 1992. So I had the honeymoon experience with Swami. And I had an experience. It's very important for me to share this with all of you because it may help you to understand how he works in each of us. For me, going to India and being in a venue that was so different from where I had been living, how I had been praising, what wasn't different was the truth and the love and the clarity that this was the real deal. But my own way, as Swami says, I don't come to you in order for you, I'm paraphrasing, to convert to the Hindu way or the this way. I want you to be the best Christian, Buddhist, Hindu, Zoroaster, whatever. And so I went into the museum. And I, as I told you yesterday, I'd been raised in a tradition for 12 years growing up. I was really, I was raised by my father and the nuns and the priests. And so I had an awful lot of this input. And it wasn't until I was 30 that it began to open up in a very deep way. And so this whole Christ message and this Jesus figure, which had been very confusing to me growing up, began to take on a mystical reality. And so this mystical approach to life, to this Christian walk, began to unfold for me. So when I went there to be with Baba, I feel that he definitely sent me into the museum. And so it was the small museum then versus the one that's very large now. And I was walking around and it was just beautiful to me to see this. I'd been a student, I was studying Eastern things for a number of years, and I stop in front of this picture of Jesus. And I become hysterical of, it's like I couldn't believe what I was feeling. I feel truly that I was placed into that moment so that I could go more fully and deeper in the journey that Baba was showing me was mine, was to allow this message that Jesus was coming to me to expand in conjunction with Baba's presence. So I had prayed for a few years about what medal do I wear? Do I wear your face or do I wear Jesus's face? I'm so confused. I know it's all the same, but you know how it is in our heart, what it is. So to make a long story short is I'm kind of skipping around. I hope you don't mind. That's how my mind works. In 1996, it was a number of trips down the line, and I come to India at birthday time, and something's telling me you can't stay for birthday. You have to leave. It's 2 days before birthday. And people would say, why are you going home? And I don't know. I feel that I'm supposed to go home. Well, what I don't know is that my father's about to pass, and I had not received word. I knew nothing about it. And so when I get to Malaysia, there's a phone, an emergency phone call for me. And they say, oh, no, it's okay. He's not on his way out of here. He's not going to die. I could feel, yes, he's passing. So I get on the airplane, and I turn to Swami. Lift him. Lift him into your peace. And it's like I knew the time that I made the prayer. It was almost like as the flight was taking off from Malaysia. I pray this prayer. I get back to California, and the first thing I do is call my sister, and I know exactly what she's going to say. Daddy passed. I said, I know. What time? It was the time that the prayer ran out. And she said, he left very quiet. What's this about for me to share this with you all? My father wore the Sacred Heart of Jesus medal his whole life. And that's what I remembered about my father, was this medal. Before he passed, I had a dream. I know that it was given to me by the Lord. My father was in Washington, D.C., and I had this dream that to go to my jewelry box. So I wake up, I go to my jewelry box, and my father's medal is in my jewelry box. Well, I hadn't spoken to my father for quite a while. What is his mess? What is his thing doing in my jewelry box? So I call him and I say, Daddy, where's your medal? Well, it's around my neck where it always is. I said, really? Well, I have it in my jewelry box. I don't understand it. And so I say to him, there's nothing about anything, other than when you pass, can I wear your medal? Swami showed me the medal that I'm supposed to wear. And yet I wear my japa beads with Swami's face on those. Oh, I have so many things, you know, in our hearts. We have so much to share with each other. And I want to share that you might be inspired, as I feel so inspired all the time by his presence and by the truth that he gives to my heart and by the music. So I want to do a song this morning that was very important. 92 was my climb the mountain trip. Honeymoon, 91. 92, oh my lordy, she was in for it. I mean, you name it, pop quizzes everywhere, and all the goop that was on my heart. It's like my experience of being brought into the dimension of Satya Sai Baba is, you asked for this. You asked for God realization in this lifetime. You asked that his perfect will be done in and through and as you. And therefore, what isn't his will is going to be like a sculptor on a piece of rock. Bang, bang. He can see the perfect David in the middle of that piece of rock, you know? And so the second trip was like that. So this was something that was so amazing. I was really struggling. I mean, the ego was up. I wanted to run away. This was too hard. I mean, it was like everything. Worry, doubt, fear, you know, everything was bothering me. You know, any little thing, it was like, oh my goodness, all this stuff was coming up. It was like this avalanche. And so this particular night, I said to my friend, I gotta leave. I can't do this. I can't make this mountain climb. We gotta get out of here. Okay? Yeah, she says, okay. So, we're getting ready. We're gonna go to Darshan. I've written Baba a letter, you know, over here. I'm getting out of here. Baba, can we leave now? So we go to go outside the door. We're up in round one. We're in one of the buildings in the ashram at the very top where it's like saran paper and 105 degrees. And the bees have decided to make our room their home. Many of things like that. So we go to get up, 5 in the morning, you know, want to get in line. I have my letter, and I have one of my tapes. We're locked in. It's dark out. It's 5 in the morning. We're locked in. It's just us in our room. And then you go down to the next floor and the next floor. We've been locked in. Oh, you think you're going somewhere, kids, huh? So for a half an hour, we're like Rapunzel. One of the Western stories is the little girl's up in the tower, and she's going, I'm up here, I'm up here. So we're up there going, Sairam, Sairam. And people are walking down in the dark, and nobody's speaking English. We're up here, I'm saying. And they're, you know, and finally, after a half an hour, we're discovered. We've been locked in. So the whole time we're there in this trip, we're in the 35th line. Oh, the 40th line. Maybe line 18. But we're definitely not up close to our beloved on that level. Well, obviously not close to on the inner level. Okay? Because I'm wanting to run away. So they let us out. We scurry on to the lines. We get line number one. Not knowing, uh-oh. So we get put in line number one. And you know, okay, the sun is, you know, coming up. And we're right there in front. And Swami's walking around doing what he does in all of his glory and taking letters and talking and putting the om on a little thing. And he comes. And I got to show you this. Hello? Oh. And he's da 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 da. And so I'm sitting here, Marja's sitting here, and Swami's da 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 da. Of course, everybody's watching da 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 da. And as soon as he gets here, and he goes like this. And he comes back in next to Marge, and he continues his beautiful walk. You're not here to run away from me. Oh, my goodness. Just the perfect sculpture. Bam!
Whoa.
I have never in my life, in this lifetime, received such a peace. He blessed me once that it was like an operation being operated on, and I went into a peace that is beyond human understanding. It was the most amazing grace that I've ever known in this lifetime. And so it's like, what followed from that was a horrendous operation. It's like the doctor got in there and he worked on this one. And when I got home, I went through a dark night of the soul. We talk about it in St. John's gospel and in his writings of what happens when the soul really gives up and surrenders. And it was the most horrendous experience I've ever had in my life. I have never been so frightened. And what he showed me was that those threads of ambition for the world and the ambition of self-will, self-centeredness, he was lancing out of my life. My whole life changed and went in 180 degrees from that trip. And what happened was I laid down the guitar. I said, I can't continue singing these songs if my heart isn't pure to allow them to come through. It's like I'd been singing for a long time in a lot of venues all over the country. And it was like I put the guitar down and just got back into nature. Our center was functioning. One schedule a week, slowly, slowly, slowly. So after a number of months, I saw this man singing And he says, after the song has been sung and the lights go down and the curtain collapses to the floor and all the people are gone, now can I live the song that I sing? I want to bring that to us this morning. Am I living the songs that I'm singing? So I want to tell you, when I saw this man bring that to me, immediately the guitar got picked up, and this is the song that came. I wanna live the song that I sing. I wanna bring light to everything. I wanna hear the sound of God wherever I go. I wanna hold out my hand to everyone. I wanna give as freely as the sun. I wanna be a channel for the love of God. Being a channel for the love of God. I'm being a channel for the love of God. I'm being a channel for the love of God. Being a channel for the love of God. I'm being a channel for the love of God. I'm being a channel for the love of God. I wanna see the truth in all of life. I wanna surrender, let go of the strife. I wanna flow like a river on its way back home. I wanna fly like an eagle on the winds of time. I wanna swim like a fish in an ocean sublime. I wanna be a channel for the love of God. Now sing that with me, being a channel. Being a channel for the love of God. I'm being a channel for the love of God. I'm being a channel for the love of God. Being a channel for the love of God. I'm being a channel for the love of God. I'm being a channel for the love of God. Now listen. Everything that gets in the way has got to go. That's what they say to be a partner of the spirit of love. For nor against anything, Sai knows what's best. It's good he brings. Being a channel for the love of God. Here we go. Being a channel for the love of God. I'm being a channel for the love of God. I'm being a channel for the love of God. Being a channel for the love of God. I'm being a channel for the love of God. I'm being a channel for the love of God. For the love of God. For the love of God. And so my journey began again. I've had some beautiful gifts from this omnipresent one. But this is a very important story for me to share with you all. I am, I think, healthfully skeptical at times. It's like, just because the newspaper says one thing, or just because you say one thing, Years ago, I used to be very gullible, and I'd just take in, take in, take in. But out of the presence of discernment, I step back, and I go within, and I listen. So, second trip, I'm still going to go there. When I came back from that trip, and after I had this dark night of the soul experience, I didn't tell this yesterday, did I, Beverly? No, okay. So I called my other Baba Mama Joy Thomas was my Baba Mama, first Baba Mama. My second Baba Mama was Prasuna and Krishna Reddy. And they were had a beautiful Sai center in their home. And that's where I initially began going to centers. And so I called her up on the phone in the middle of the day and I said, Prasuna, can I come and go up in the temple? Oh, yes, 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 come. So I go up there and I have such a heaviness on my heart. I am so confused. And it's like, help me to experience what I need to experience. So I walk in the room, and here's this huge, gorgeous picture. And I'd been in that room many, many times. And I sit on the floor in front of the picture, and that was the first time I'd ever been in there all by myself, so it felt very special. And I start crying because I feel the way I'm feeling, you know, beaten up by the sculpture, you know. And I yell out loud, prove your omnipresence. Wow. Is that blasphemous? I don't know. And it was like, in the Bible, there are two places in Isaiah. Prove me, says the Lord. And the other one is, put me to the test. So out of that deepening recognition about prove your omnipresence. So that felt better. I went over and touched the little paducas. I didn't know if you were supposed to do that or not, but I did it anyway. And I went back to my office. There's a message on my voicemail. And it's a woman that I hadn't seen for a number of years. She had been part of the center, but she and her husband weren't around. I didn't know where they went. Anyway, she's on the phone, and she says she was very upset. She said Art's in the hospital. He's having a second operation. The first one failed, and the prognosis isn't very good. Would you call him? So I said, of course. No, well, she left the message, so I, of course. So I got very quiet. I called Art. Hi, Art, this is Linda G. Oh, he was so happy, good. I said, I'm not going to have a conversation with you. I'm going to ask you to do something. Would you do this? Yes, anything. I said, I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to be open to the idea that there is a light within you, maybe in your heart, and to focus on that, and also that there is a light in this doctor that's working with you. And now I want you to breathe in Sai and to breathe out Ram. I'm not going to explain it. I'll tell you about it later. Will you just do this without question? No problem, he says. So right before I had called, I didn't know this, obviously, the doctor had just been in there and wasn't real happy with what he saw. He had a detached retina, and they weren't able to reattach it. And so I put the phone down, and he closes his eyes, and he starts working with this suggestion. And within about 40 minutes or so, they come in, they wheel him down the corridor into the room for surgery. And almost as I was told, before he got there, he starts saying to the doctor who was walking with him, something's going on in my eye. And they get him into the room, and the doctor looks at his eye and he goes, oh my God, the thing has reattached itself. Go back to your room, get dressed, and go home. Prove your omnipresence. So, that was good. Oh. Praise God. That was really just, it's tailor-made. Each one of us are different, and he tailor-makes what is necessary in order for our hearts to melt for him. Yesterday when he said panting for God. So that was a huge beginning for me. Not a beginning to the spiritual life, but a whole new dimension to this journey that we are all on. So one of my later trips, I had an opportunity to go to Kodaikanal, as soon as I got home, I went back into the recording studio because it was mother. When I'd been in Prashanti, and I'd been raised by a man and raised by the hierarchy of the Catholic Church, and it was all male figure, male energy. So I had some stuff around that, a male figure. And when I did the figure eight work. What was that, Beverly, by Phyllis Crystal? This work. My big work was, I wasn't raised by a woman. I was raised by a man. And so when I went to Kodaikanal, Swami's love as the mother was so huge. He spoke to me. He gave me Padmanabhaskar. I was there on a big AA birthday, the day that he came to me and spoke and just showered mother. And I needed that so much. Swami has become that mother as well as a lot of you, you know, because you are exuding his energy and presence. I have to say for myself, because our center is not filled with side devotees. They are truly devotees of God. But there's something about our Sai family that I have never experienced anything like it. It really is his presence so exemplified and so given that it has changed me. You all have changed me. He in you has changed me. And I am humbly grateful to him for that. So I want to do another song. We have, 15 minutes? 20 minutes. One time when I was there in Prashanti, I mentioned this, that I'd have to grab, my dear friend Marge would kind of carry things for me because she never knew if I was going to need a pencil or a paper, because this was really different, that I was having this experience of music coming so quickly. So Baba is walking around. And when I would be sitting with him, oftentimes my mind would become so still and so open. And so this one particular time, this whole song, I Am Everywhere, yeah, just came pouring out. The truth of being. He's telling us, who am I?
I am everywhere. I am everything. I am everyone. I am the light that lights the day. I am the lamp that shows you the way. I am the truth, I'm here to say, I am that I am, I am that, I am that I am, I am that. I am the first, I am the last, I am the future, I am the past, I am the all, I want you to grasp, I am that I am, I am that, I am that I am, I am that, I am the self. Of all that exists, nothing but me has the will to persist. I am the one, I do not resist, for I am that, I am that, I am. I am that, I am that, I am. I am that. I am all power. I am all love. Come into form, descended from above. I am all that your heart is made of. I am that, I am. I am that, I am that, I am. I am that, I am that, I am. I am that, I am that, I am. I am that. I am goodness and mercy, peace and light. I'm forever expressing. My heart is so bright. I am always with you. You're embraced by my might. I am that. My children, give up the doubt. Know the truth of what I am about. I'm your very own nature. I'm just letting it out. I am that. I am that. I am that. I am. 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 I am that.
I mean, isn't that, to me, it's amazing, because I never studied music. And before my husband passed, never had I heard a song inside of me. I mean, I heard songs, but in a new song, a new tune, new words, new thought, never. And so this that's happened to me, there's no doubt in my heart that it isn't the Lord dancing upon my heart and expressing. For example, I have studied the Bhagavad Gita for a number of years, various interpretations. And one time, I made a little truth reminder. I do things called truth reminders. Truth reminders. And so for years, in the beginning, I used to write them on my hands and on my wrists so that I would never forget, you know, like, God and I are one, God is with me, all is well, you know, whatever, Sai Ram. I even have a Japa ring that I've been wearing since 1990, when Sai Ram, Om Sai Ram, Om Sai Ram, Om Sai Ram, I'm in the grocery store, I'm working with somebody, da-da-da-da-da. So I had this truth reminder, this passage from the Bhagavad Gita. And I don't know the exact interpretation of it, but this is what I heard. I put it on the keyboard with me one day. I had it on a truth reminder, and it was sitting in front of me. I was just sitting there like this, and all of a sudden, this is the statement when Krishna's talking to Arjuna. Once you just start thinking only of me, keeping your thoughts continuously fixed on the highest, aimed at the one, then I take care of all. My will, it is done. And so then, so I sat there, whoa. And the next thing was I heard the verse about what it is he wants us to hear. So we're going to sing this. This is the chorus. So I want to teach you the chorus, and then I'll sing the verses, and then we'll come back to the chorus. Once you start thinking only of me, keeping your thoughts continuously fixed on the highest, aimed at the one, then I take care of all my will. It is done. Okay, let's do that together. Once you start thinking only of me,
this is what we have to start knowing. Once we start knowing, there is only one, simply beholding perfection being done, lifting us every moment, disclosing purest light, showing us its kingdom of peace, love and mind. Here we go together. Once you start thinking, oh, once we start turning to the within, no longer fearing appearance and sin, dwelling on the one source, yielding at its feet, living for one purpose, being its child. Start thinking only of me, keeping your thoughts continuously fixed on the highest, aimed at the one, then I take care of all my will, it is done. Once we start loving all that exists, opening the heart and mind and letting love persist, pouring out on everyone, embracing the all, hearing God in everything through a voice still and small. Once we surrender the monkey mind to you, then alone can we rest, knowing the truth, living as a channel for the perfect life, released at last from struggle, now we are one with the way.
omnipresence. He's everywhere. And what's being asked of us is that we keep our mind stayed on him. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, the living truth. We say thank you. What a beautiful way to start the day. Living in the Word, that the Word might live in us, and thus we bear fruit richly. We glorify him. Thank you for a beautiful morning. Sidon.